This is the Wednesday, April 7th edition of the Daily Wager Podcast. We are talking Masters, matchups, futures, maybe some props as well. We'll also get a play for today as well. So settle in, like we always promise, in and out in less than 10 minutes.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the, we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Welcome to the Daily Wager Podcast, presented by DraftKings, America's top-rated daily fantasy app. I'm Doug Kazarian, joined by a still struggling yet playing hurt Joe Fortenbaugh.
It's Masters week, my man. The voice is still a little scratchy. Lots of local honey. I've been drinking honey like Winnie the Pooh. I'm ready to roll, baby.
Well, I'll let you on the tee box first. We're gonna do some Masters out of the gates. Anything you're circling is like your favorite play, if you will.
From a four-round matchup perspective, I really like John Rahm minus 125 over Bryson DeChambeau. Rahm just had a baby on Sunday. I know that's going to be a big narrative heading into the week, but he's become a parent for the first time. And when that happens, it tends to put life into a different perspective. Basically, what I'm getting at here is I don't think there's going to be anyone in the field playing looser than John Rahm. The health of his baby, the health of his wife, that's going to be the priority. He's been fantastic at Augusta his last 3 years here, T9 or better. And when it comes to DeChambeau, he did all that talk last year heading into the Masters, and then he finished T34th after talking all that trash on the course. This is a second shot golf course, as we know. He struggled with approach at times. John Rahm minus 125 over Bryson DeChambeau in a four-round matchup.
Yeah, I can get behind that. I mean, the big talk is DeChambeau. You said he talked a lot. I mean, he called it a par 67, right?
And, right.
Ended up shooting around actual par. I think 2 under was the play. So not horrendous, but the narrative right now is that the course is going to play really slick on the greens. That the club, if you will, was upset that a guy like DJ carved it up at 20 under. So they want to make it really more difficult. And that's actually kind of validated. I've heard like confirmation that that's going to be the case. So fading DeChambeau's short game, can't fault you with that. I'm going to go Justin Thomas in a matchup. You're looking at like a buck 35 against Spieth. Look, what Jordan Spieth's done is incredible. But there's a feast or famine sort of thing with him, right? With this tournament, although he is a former Masters champ. I like JT. I think he's just more solid. Probably the best iron striker there is. Maybe Morikawa out there as well. You mentioned that that's a second shot golf course. I'll take Thomas to put himself in good position for putts once he gets on the green and two, hopefully. So that's kind of like my favorite matchup. But again, I'm fading DeChambeau, fading Spieth, and a lot of mine as well. What about you in terms of maybe a futures play?
All right, two others I'm keeping an eye on. Webb Simpson to finish in the top 20 is plus 110. He's a savvy veteran here at Augusta National. It's his 10th trip to the Masters. And in his last three, he's been on absolute point. Tied for 20th, tied for 5th, tied for 10th. In his last three spins at Augusta, he's having a solid season as well. He's in good form. T17 or better in 3 of 5 stroke play events this year. So you take good form, combine it with the veteran presence, combine it with the fact that he's been really good at Augusta as of late. I like Simpson at plus money to get inside the top 20. I also like a future on Cameron Smith, 33-1 to win this thing outright. This is his 5th trip to Augusta. He finished tied for 5th in 2018, but last year he finished tied for 2nd. All 4 rounds he shot in the 60s. And much like Simpson, he's in good form as of late. He finished 4th at the Genesis, 17th at Sawgrass. He's top 20 in strokes gained putting, which we were just talking about how important that is. Cam Smith, 33-1 to win.
I can get behind that. That's a good number. Also, I mean, look, we have all plays posted on ESPN.com's chalk section, so we have a lot out there. I guess I would probably my favorite is Zalatoris at 75-1 to win this thing outright.
He's got
10 top 25 finishes, only one missed cut this season. He did not play well in November at Augusta, but he did play well at the U.S. Open, 6th place finish. So he's kind of not a no name, but he's a lesser name, but he can handle the big stage, 18th in driving distance. So that'll help him in that set up that second shot, fifth in strokes gained approaching the green. So he kind of feels like Spieth was in 2000, I believe 15, maybe put it all together and be a set. It's been a while since we saw a guy outside of 50-1 win this thing. It's been about a decade, I want to say. There's a lot of other plays out there, more props as well. Like I like Gary Woodland to make the cut, even Poulter to make the cut. But again, go check out all those golf plays. We just wanted to give you a little bit of a taste here on the Daily Wager podcast. Anything for tonight, Joe? We got baseball. We got NBA, obviously. Anything you circling?
Well, I've been having a lot of fun betting the run line against the Baltimore Orioles so far in this series against the Yankees as they've been smashing them. I might go back today, but the key game I'd look at tonight in the NBA, it's going to be Phoenix and Utah under 225.5. I think we're getting some value here on the under based on what we've seen from Phoenix in their last three games. The last three outings, a grand total of 237 points, 243 points, and 263 points were scored. So I think that's inflated this number a bit. But look at those three opponents, Chicago, Oklahoma City, and Houston. They all rank ninth or faster in pace, and they all rank 21st or worse in defensive rating. Utah does not fit that bill. They are one of the best defensive teams in the league, third in defensive rating. They also rank 16th in pace. So I think this number is propped up a bit based on what we've seen as of late from Phoenix. That therefore, I'm going to play the under 225.5.
Hey, you like your Suns unders.
Yeah, for sure.
Couple games I have circled. One is overnight, I actually bet Charlotte -4.5. It's up to 5.5. I think we really need to process what this Oklahoma City team is. They're basically a G League team. Right? Their best players are no longer playing. And we've seen that over the last three games, they've lost by a combined 109 points, I believe it is. They just got crushed at home to Detroit. Now they're hosting Charlotte. And yes, no Gordon Hayward. Yes, no LaMelo Ball, I should say. But this is a team that's still in the playoff hunt. They're the 5 seed, I believe, in the East, tied for the 5 seed. They're not going to mess around this game. They're going to take care of business. Oak City is just not a good team. Now, that's why the numbers come up. It's 5.5 right now. I'd still lay it, but not like a hand. We have to fade this Oak City team every night. I just think they're just really struggling. I think the organization is trying to figure out what they have going into the offseason as they continue this rebuild mode. But the game I probably like the best, it's probably going to be my best bet unless something pops up for the weekend because it's our last TV show until Monday. But I like the T-Wolves +2 at Indiana. Yesterday's best bet was the Bulls -2 at Indiana. And no Malcolm Brogdon, no Sabonis. Both guys missed last night, not expected to return tonight. And then Miles Turner left the game with a sprained ankle. He's probably not going to play. So you basically have this patchwork team on a Pacers squad that's already been disappointing. They're 22-27 on the season. They're horrendous at home as well, 8-15. They're just not a good team. They're going to be missing like their three best players, essentially. It's really questionable. And Minnesota's playing good ball. They've won 2 of 4. They're 3-1 ATS in this 4-game set. Most importantly, they got D'Angelo Russell back. I'll take +2 on a high-scoring T-Wolves team that, like, I don't think the Pacers' reserves, if you will be able to hang. So I think when they go to the bench and it's really the reserves, Minnesota will make a run. And I just think they're much better coach now that they replaced Saunders. So I'm going to grab the 2 points. It was +3.5 overnight, but I'll take the +2.
Yeah, and that's the key. I like that bet as well. Open 3.5, it's down to 2 for a lot of the reasons you laid out. I think it's a really nice opportunity there for the T-Wolves. That's a really good handicapping job by you.
Cool. All right, buddy. Well, thank you for that. Joseph, you feel better. Although we'll see you on TV and have some fun with that one. But that'll do it for today, under 10 minutes. As promised, please do us a favor. You got to do all those things, right? Rate, review, subscribe. Really helps us with the analytics. And as we move forward and try to get you guys really good content. Enjoy the day. Enjoy the start of the Masters. But we'll catch you back here Thursday morning or afternoon on the East Coast around noon, 1 p.m.-ish. We'll be back with you guys then.